My name's Howie Firth. I'm the director of the Orkney Science Festival. This is the 20th festival we started in 1991, which makes us just about, after the Edinburgh Science Festival, the oldest science festival, I suppose, anywhere.
So some people might think it's a slightly odd place to host a science festival on Orkney. How did that come about?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. The initiative was taken by the then Orkney Tourist Board, now part of Visit Orkney. Its chief executive, Josh Gourley, had long wanted to try to get away from the seasonality, which then peaked very, very strongly in July and August. And Josh noted that the Isle of Man had developed a much more all-year-round type of tourism by developing festivals. And its argument was that even if it's the months of winter and the days are dark and it's colder and wetter, people who want to learn more about a particular subject or into it, whether it's motor racing or early music or whatever, a festival will draw them. And I should also say that when the idea came from Josh that Orkney should have a science festival, I did pause and wonder, because of course this is an island group of 20,000 people, far away from, say, the city of Edinburgh, with what, 500,000 people, 3 or 4 universities, many science-based industries. But then Orkney has part of the North Sea oil industry, the fishing industry uses a lot of technology, as does agriculture. And indeed we had some of the first scientists anywhere, because the stone circles here and the chambered cairns like Maze Howe, with its entrance aligned to the setting sun at midwinter, these were built by engineers, mathematicians, scientists 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. So our ancestors were scientists. And indeed, the amount of scientific research that goes on now in Orkney is quite remarkable. In archaeology, for example, all the sophisticated scientific techniques that are backing it up. And now we're in the very front line of marine renewables with the European Marine Energy Test Centre here. So from all over the world, companies are looking at Orkney to test out the very frontiers of technology for wave and tide.
Eileen Linklater, Client and Marketing Manager at EMEC, the European Marine Energy Centre. EMEC is a test laboratory, so we test and verify the performance of wave and tidal energy converters. So we have two test sites, a wave test site and a tidal test site, and the developer would bring their machine along to join onto the end of one of our subsea cables, and from there we gather the data and the performance information in terms of how much they can generate to the national grid.
So it's like a sort of first step?
It's the final development step, but that we test full-scale prototypes. So the next step really beyond is commercial, so small arrays of machines and ultimately large arrays of machines, the big wave or tidal farms that we want to see in the future.
My name is William Annell. I work for a tidal turbine developer called Scott Renewables Marine Power.
Can you just tell me the difference between tidal power and wave power to start with?
Okay, that's a good question. Myself, I'm involved in tidal power. One way of looking at it is it's the marine equivalent of wind energy, where we extract energy from a flow of moving water. Wave power uses a different system where they try and harvest the energy from the motion of the waves. Waves are generated far out at sea by storms and by wind. Our machine is quite unique. You've probably never seen one before. It's a floating tube with two great big tidal turbine rotors that are deployed off from the tube, and then the rotors are then rotated by the flow of the current, and then the electricity is generated from that motion.
My name is Neil Davidson from Aquamarine Power. We're a wave energy company. We've got a device called the Oyster, which sits on the seabed at around 10 metres water depth, about half a kilometre from shore. And basically it's a hinged flap that's hinged to the seabed. It's buoyant, and it as it rocks backwards and forwards in the near shore waves, it's basically a pump, and it pumps high pressure fresh water onto the shore and drives a conventional hydroelectric turbine.
Right, so at the moment you're testing out EMEC in Orkney.
That's correct. We've got a full-scale device which was installed in summer 2009. So it's got nearly 6,000 operational hours, and we're about to commence the construction of the Oyster 2.
And what is it about Orkney and Scotland in general that's so powering this industry?
Well, there are two principal things. One is the Scottish Government has been very supportive in terms of the grants at the one end, but also through market pool mechanisms, so things like renewable obligation certificates. Ultimately, what they will pay you for the power. It's a very strong market incentive to invest, is that you know that the power you produce is worth quite a lot of money. So that's very positive. Also, things like putting in place EMEC. So it means you can get a commercial area of seabed, you've got grid connected test sites, and you've got very good grant supports and market support. So you bring them all together, and it kind of means Scotland's a brilliant place to do it.
Orkney is an excellent place to test for tidal devices, because tide generally is found in narrow channels. Orkney's an archipelago, it's got a brilliant landscape for doing that. Waves as well, we've got the Atlantic Ocean, so there's a long distance for the waves to build up as well.
And so for the future, this could be quite an important resource for UK energy.
It could be quite important, but it is not the answer to the problem. This is one thing that we have to stress. It'll provide a percentage of the energy, but renewable energy, the solution will come using various technologies to harvest bits of energy from wherever we can. It's a patchwork solution that we're really looking for.
So you're part of this larger framework?
Yeah, part of the answer.
I think Scotland has really positioned itself very positively for marine energy worldwide. It's various economic incentives to attract developers to progress their learning here so that we can retain that knowledge and that, you know, that intellectual property that's going to be generated. Orkney is kind of leading even within Scotland, because primarily because of EMEC, if I'm being honest. Orkney was chosen for EMEC because it has the wave and tidal resources. It's because we were positioned right in the middle of that North Atlantic, so we get the big waves crashing in from the Atlantic and the tidal stream being channeled in between the islands. So because we had that brilliant resource at hand, that was the first reason. Second reason is because we've got a lot of academic expertise here, energy expertise from the oil and gas sector, and at Heriot Watt International Centre for Island Technology, lots of postgraduate, postdoctoral research have been going on for years. So there's lots happening here already, and it seemed like the perfect place to set up a test centre. The final bit to the jigsaw was that we're grid connected and that we have export capacity. Not very much, it's going to need to be increased for future, but the connection was there, which was fundamental to enable the test centre to be set up.
It sounds like the Scottish Government have been very supportive of this convention.
Hugely supportive. They've set some very ambitious climate change targets. So for example, the target is that the 30% of our electricity will come from renewable resources by next year, and we're already exceeding that target within Scotland. But then the next target is that by 2020 we would have 50% of our electricity coming from renewable resources. So I think that's, to my knowledge, the world's most ambitious target.
So 50% in the whole of Scotland coming from renewables. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So at the moment on Orkney, how much of the power here would have been generated by renewables, like right now?
At times, apparently, we're actually self-sufficient in terms of renewables in Orkney, depending on obviously the peak outputs and the like. But at times, I've heard that we're generating more than we're using.
So you're
selling it
back.
A net exporter at times.
Wow.
It's quite exciting. So it's set these quite ambitious targets, and it is creating the economic incentives to get the technology developed here so that it will be installed here first, and then we can export it to the rest of the world, is the idea.
It's really exciting with the marine energy companies, because it's a new frontier, and this is a frontier that could make a great deal of difference, not only for islands like this with strong tides and waves round about, not only for Scotland, but really worldwide. And the young people. Wonderful to see these smaller companies of young people. And I think this is important, because when we've got companies now like the marine renewables ones, they're going to need skilled staff. But actually, some of the people who are doing presentations, for example, on marine renewables, are people who we remember them when they were very young coming to the family day. So we're actually seeing over a period of time that the festival helping career interest and highlighting role models, and then seeing a generation following those role models in their own way. Because after all, if you tell the next generation about things that are known, they will say, well, what's the point? If you know them, why should I bother? But if you tell them instead about the questions that are unknown and the challenges that are bigger than ever, well, what better way to excite people about science, just as we like to find out about a detective story or get a difficult Sudoku problem? We want a challenge, and I think it's so important that science looks at the horizons and beyond them. And also, islands like Orkney mean that people have to explore, because islands have finite resources, so people who live on islands get used to travelling and going further away. And then Orkney is a crossroads. It was a crossroads in the Neolithic, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, crossroads in the Norse period that built St. Magnus Cathedral here in Kirkwall. Strategic crossroads in two world wars, because the British Navy anchored in Scapa Flow, and indeed Orkney was the place where the big German air attacks built up that led to the Battle of Britain. In many ways, the first phases of the Battle of Britain were fought in the skies above here. So this is an island community that's always looked outward, whose people have always travelled distances, that welcomes new ideas. So it does make it a logical setting for a festival of ideas.